This podcast is brought to you by Winter Scribbler Publishing, where reality and imagination turn into delicate harmony of scripts and illustrations. Visit www.winterscribbler.com for collections of books, poetry, and graphics by diverse talents of artists and writers around the world.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 2 of WLW Podcast. For this episode, I will discuss the common themes that we experience whenever we meet with a woman who appeals to us in some way. It could be from their looks, the way they dress, their hairstyles, their smiles, the way they speak to us with that calm, confident tone, or the way their eyes linger a bit longer than usual, or when their presence made you flunk out of space. And when all this combined, it will make us shiver and lose the ability to speak like a normal person. Sometimes, or maybe most of the time, our mind will travel to our own world that no one will ever go when you are only 15 minutes into the conversation. Like for instance, without yet knowing how this person who was just introduced to you is like, what is her name? We will be thinking about having coffee with this person again. It's not even the first time. Then you will end up thinking about, oh, maybe, what is her favorite dish? Let me cook for her, just to impress her, when you have not been cooking for yourself since the last 10 years. U-Haul, or staying together in less than 6 months after knowing each other, is a common term used by us. When you end up in the stage of staying together as a lesbian supporter, I guess you should be grateful that you have reached that milestone, because not everyone is lucky enough to be living in that stage with someone whom they are really interested in and who has the same feelings. All this led to the letters I wrote to this person I am writing to in this book, in which this all started in 2013, which is 7 years ago. All the memories were not faded, so everything is still so clear in my mind that I could still recall that before that moment, we all had a few dinners together, which is about 5 years before 2013, but it doesn't really affect me that much. Yes, I was aware she was attractive and good-looking, you know, there is this masculinity in her too. But in 2013, when we met again with friends for dinner, I have no idea why there is this gut feeling, something different when I saw her, which inspired me to write the following. In the beginning, I could feel myself engulfed with notes of worry and fear. When I saw you again with all of our friends after years, my heart tried to tell me that you are the one who will fill this empty space. I could feel that when I looked into your eyes. I was trying to warm myself by not looking into those lingering beautiful eyes of yours, piercing through the walls that I have built over the years. This kind of feelings is considered not unusual for me. I mean, if you remember when I met a gorgeous girl from London in Delhi, and to my friend's friend who opened the door for me, also with, you know, a few others. But for this story, it's like a short story that became longer than I had anticipated, which is the one that worries me. All those fears started to surface, because this one is something that is happening more constant than the others. And it doesn't subside. That's the point. So like, you know, the late night meetings, the late night hangouts in bars, holding hands, chatting about our personal life, her bringing me to meet her mom, her favorite aunt, and accompanying her and her kid to drum school, were all those I have never done before with any of my friends or so-called individuals I have crushed on. And the best thing, or probably interesting for me, is me letting myself did those with her, when most of the time I will avoid those kinds of activities to go too far, even with my friends. So normally I will control my involvement and, you know, time commitment with people. So that gut feeling I had from the night we met, I let it be. I really didn't stop myself from going out with her whenever she asked me out. You know, I would go back home late till 3 or 4 a.m. when I hang out with her at bus or listening to live music. And this only happened when I was with her. So with other friends, there are curfews, even though I was already about late 20s during that time. So I basically tell myself that, hey, just let it be, you know. I allowed myself to see her in a different angle, which is not like with a friend. So whenever she smiles, I don't look at it as fake or by force. Probably it is, but, you know, when you like someone, you will look at them in a different light or angle. She has this most genuine smile that will make your bad mood and worries disappear instantly, especially with her dimples and cheekbones. So then every time when I go out with her, I want to make sure that, you know, I look good in a different way, not like whenever I went out with my other friends, which I don't really focus that much. I have written all these experiences in a next letter to her in this book. It is very, very detailed. And I remember clearly that one night while we were texting after meeting each other, I did text her that I like more than a friend, that I like you more than a friend. So remember, this was like 7 years ago when I was not really sure about myself. And I also didn't mean it that way. So it is more like literally what it means, but not as a woman, you know, falling in love with another woman in a romantic way. What I meant was like, I like her more than how I like my other friends. Thinking back at it now, I feel like I already came out to her. But I don't think she gets it though. So basically at that point, I was like in a confident mode, surprisingly. I am going to share with you another letter from Letters of a Thousand Speeches, which personally, this is one of my favorite parts. I know you could hold on to that fear. There is nothing threatening in the scene of the movie. Yet, you decided to scream at the end and hug me. The only moments I remember about this movie are how bland it was. The moment when our fingers held onto each other's and how I could not stop thinking about you when you were right beside me.
This podcast is brought to you by Winter Scribbler Publishing, where reality and imagination turn into delicate harmony of scripts and illustrations.
This scene was written 5 days after the dinner. We went out for a movie with another friend of ours. It was one of those movies I don't understand the head and tail of the storyline. But I remember 1000% clearly, it is not a thriller, neither it is a horrifying movie. It was that movie in space. I am not interested to Google it now and tell you what it is because I don't enjoy the movie at all. But yeah, she did that. She just suddenly hugged me and screamed like as if something was scary. Not even caring about the friend who was with us, who was sitting beside me. Actually, at that time, I wish I could hold her hand in the dark. But thinking back till today, that don't really give me mixed signals since the beginning. So I cannot blame myself regarding this. But okay, now tell me why we are always in these bad positions. And how can we not feel special when this is how we are always being treated? The beginning of it all in my case was a repetition of 3 different phases of my moments with her. This is the first phase where it all started. Just for your information, for those who do not know me personally, I am the type of person who will not do anything or make any first step. So which means that if, for instance, I am interested in you, if I see you across the lecture hall, once my gut feeling got attracted to you and only you, I will not do anything except probably smile or find reasons to, you know, say hi to you. Like how I did with that one ex-classmate whom I met for my master's in university. I did mention her in season 1, if you remember clearly. I will make a move, but within a certain limit, like, you know, holding hands, brush probably up your arms, your hand while we talk. But that is it. Yeah, so that is it. I will flirt, but I will never ask them out for coffee or anything like that. Actually, I'm not sure why exactly. I was thinking that probably it's about confidence or fear of rejection. But if I am not having self-confidence, I will not even talk to the person of flirt. I don't feel like I lack anything that stopped me from asking them out. I feel like, I guess, in the back of my mind, I am probably not really wanting to commit, or maybe I don't see any future in proceeding what I want because most of them, except this girl who I was interested in, were taken. Like, they have boyfriends or just got married. So in fact, the only person I would like to tell so much about how I really feel is her. That too, usually I never ask her out, or I will not be the first person to text her. And when we go forward to year 2017, which we met again and hang out, my heart was already not 100% as was I was feeling in 2013, because I had made up my mind during that time that she was the one who left and didn't contact me anymore. So why should I feel the same way again, right? And then again, it is not as straight as I had anticipated, even though she came back in my life after she remarried and has a child. This is when it inspired me to write one of my favorites in this book called Another Lie Between Friends. I will share with you the first part of this poem. The merchandise for this poem is now available in my website at www.winterscribbler.com. When I say I miss you, what I mean is that I would like you by my side. When I avoid looking into your eyes, it means I am worried that you will haunt my days and nights again. When I told you those chocolates and fruit tarts were delicious, I did not mean it. I have tasted better ones. I love to see how proud you are, pleased with your choices. This lies between friends. When your knees kept hitting mine several times under the table, I could not understand what you needed. Frankly, I do not want to know whether you did not like mine touching yours. I just wanted mine entangled with yours. This is just another lie between friends. So this happened when I had already moved on after about 3 years of not knowing what happened to her. So this was basically when she only added me in her friends list after she remarried. Until now, I still kept reminding myself whenever I feel like my heart is so attached to her. Sometimes I feel like we have to find something to make sure that when we ended up drifting, we have something to hold on to. I don't believe in what people say, like what she says to me and another friend, whether indirectly or directly, that she is straight. I do not put too much thoughts in those kind of words, because we have seen so many stories that when people said something like that while we didn't even ask, they could be trying to defend themselves or trying to deny it. It is like them trying to assure themselves, not us. That is why I don't put too much focus on what she said or anyone says. There are some things that happened within 2017 in which you have to read it in the book, which are for me very significant for the entire storyline. Because this episode is about the beginning of it all that starts everything at different phases. I do not want to be swayed away from the main topic. Then fast forward to 2019, after which we lose contact again, and I don't remember we meet anymore after the Universal Studio trip. I guess it was because I was moving on again by distracting myself with other women whom I met and also achieving my own personal goals in life. I was like busy with pursuing my master's, traveling, and building my career. In 2019 was when I feel like it was over the limit of our usual interaction. That night at the rooftop bar with two of our friends was the maximum that I feel like this is not anymore the young adults trying to explore their feelings. It is more than that. As usual, I don't have the courage to start anything, so I was not the one who starts it all. Why did you press your body into mine at a bar? Why did you ask me to dance with you? Why did you tell me to do whatever I want on the dance floor? Why did you flash your beautiful brown eyes and that smile at me? Those are my weaknesses whenever I am with you.
To purchase a copy of Visit Amazon.com or www.winterscribbler.com. For any feedbacks and questions, email us at winterscribbler@gmail.com.
If you would like to listen and watch a visualization of a full written letter excerpt from this scene, please check it out at our YouTube channel, Winter Scribbler, or go to winterscribbler.com for the links. Meanwhile, guys, I would like to end this episode here. Thank you once again for listening. I hope this entertained you or maybe motivated you in some way when flirting with the woman you are attracted to. For the live recording of this podcast, please visit our YouTube channel, Winter Scribbler. The link to the video and the episode transcript is available in our website. To support us in creating more contents, be our patron and receive additional benefits with your membership, such as free books from our publishing company, behind-the-scenes episodes, tutorials, and many other benefits linked to our sister company, Craftful Listing International. I will see you in the next episode. Take good care of yourself. Bye-bye.